Sponsorship of the KQED live audio stream comes from Xfinity Mobile, featuring customized wireless plans. Customers can choose unlimited, buy the gig, shared data, or a mix of both and switch it up anytime. Learn more at xfinitymobile.com.
From KQED News, I'm Craig Miller. This winter has been a reminder that in California, there's often either too much water or too little. And climate change is only going to make that more unpredictable. Businesses are starting to look at how water affects them and their bottom line. So today, we have stories from two reporters on companies that have emerged as leaders in conservation. Jason Margolis of The World starts us off.
Here's a sobering thought.
Studies have shown that as we look out to 2030, global demand for water is expected to outstrip supply by 40%.
That's Brooke Barton with Ceres, a Boston-based sustainability group. Barton says water conservation is just not on the radar of a lot of businesses.
It's surprising how many companies and manufacturing facilities around the world aren't even measuring how much water they use.
Ceres is trying to change that. They start by appealing to companies' self-interest. Tracking and cutting water use can save a lot of money. And one of the companies that's caught on to that is PepsiCo. Here at PepsiCo's massive Gatorade facility just outside of Phoenix, the bottling lines fill up 600 containers each minute.
We're doing great. We're doing fruit punch. We're doing lemon lime.
Tim Carey directs sustainability programs for PepsiCo Beverages in North America. He says the company started investing in water efficiency 4 years ago. In water-scarce Arizona, they've cut use by 24%.
That's about 100 million gallons of water that we used in 2013 every year that we do not use this year.
That translates into $1.5 million saved annually. So, how did Pepsi do it? It starts with how they clean all those empty bottles. Water is out, air is in.
Think of it the way you would think of an air pressure device at a service station where you're filling your tires.
The pulses of air remove dust particles from bottles that have been sterilized with heat. Another water-saving move, more efficient filtering of the water used in our Gatorade.
Originally, we would just do a single pass through reverse osmosis. We'd use the clean water to in our operation, and the rest would go to drain.
That water is now recaptured and cleaned again, saving the company a lot of runoff. The next water-saving trick can be found on the rooftop. Carrie opens a hatch, and we emerge into the bright Arizona sun.
And on top of this roof, we have a field of solar panels that covers about 700,000 square feet.
That's like 12 football fields. But just what do solar panels have to do with saving water? It goes back to the local utility. Power plants use tremendous amounts of water to generate electricity. The less power Pepsi draws from the grid, the less water is used.
And because we're all in the same watershed, we're saving water in Arizona, in the watershed that supplies us.
Which in turn helps maintain the long-term viability of Pepsi's operations here. Beyond Arizona, Pepsi has set a goal to reduce water use an additional 25% by the year 2025 at all its food and beverage facilities worldwide. Pepsi is leading the way, but what they're doing isn't exactly splitting the atom. So why are corporations like PepsiCo just making these changes now? Why not 25 years ago? Carey says water has long been cheap. CEOs just didn't think about sustainability as a business advantage.
People didn't say, oh, what can I do to save water? Second thing is they probably did what I call the gross stuff. They did the big water savings projects, which were fairly obvious. We're at the precision scale now where we say, how can we tune our operations? How can we buy equipment and make it operate just perfectly?
The challenges will be different for just about every plant and just about every industry, but more companies are at least asking the questions. Let's look at how a very different company is trying to save water.
This team is charged with coming up with new techniques every day, like time, temperature, pressure, mixture.
I'm Lauren Summer in downtown San Francisco, where manager Bart Seitz is showing me a different kind of cuisine. We're in Levi's Eureka Lab, named for the moment of discovery. It's a miniature factory that you might say is at the forefront of jeans technology. We're surrounded by hundreds of pairs of prototypes.
Each jean has a recipe. It's just, it's very similar to cooking.
They all start out with the same basic ingredient.
This is denim fabric that comes from one of our mills. Up until 40 years or so ago, jeans were sold like this. They were stiff and scratchy.
But what we buy today can be very different. Jeans are light, dark, faded, pre-shrunk, stonewashed. Some come with whiskers, those crease lines at the hips. And all those variations are created with water.
This is our washing area. These machines look like machines that you would see in a laundromat.
At a full-scale Levi's factory, the machines wash 300 pairs of jeans each. And to get the right color and softness, some jeans are washed over and over, which used a lot of water. But a few years ago, the company created machines that use ozone gas instead.
And it reduces the color from something dark to something light without using very much water at all.
Levi's has developed about a dozen other waterless techniques and plans to roll them out to factories around the world, from Egypt to Mexico. The company hasn't set a target for how much water to save, but has a goal to use these technologies in 80% of its products by 2020.
To use less water is usually less expensive, especially in some areas where we produce. Water is a challenge. You know, water is a premium.
Of course, most of the water used for jeans comes from growing the cotton itself, a notoriously thirsty crop. Levi's doesn't actually grow it, but they're sourcing some fabric from the Better Cotton Initiative, a nonprofit that helps farmers reduce water use. Then there's all the water that jeans use after we buy them. Levi's estimates laundry is about a quarter of the total water footprint. And apparently, Americans use more water to wash our jeans than consumers in Europe or China do.
If we could just convince people in America to wash their jeans only every 5 times they wear them, that would move the needle.
Among hardcore lovers of 501s, there is a movement to never wash your jeans, to develop a personalized patina.
True connoisseurs and aficionados, it's the ultimate form of self-expression for people. I never wash my jeans. I never have, ever.
Yeah, that may not be for everyone. I'm Lauren Sommer, KQED News.
Support for KQED Science is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation.